This is Jonathan Lane of Fan Film Factor, and I am here today with Vance Major for what is probably your, 150th interview on Fan Film Factor. It's you're a very frequent guest, but that's because you've done a lot in fan films. Currently, you are one of the heads of Starbase Studios, along with Kent Words Edwards, helping to facilitate fans to use various sets around fandom and other resources. You are also known as Menard, the engineer of the USS Valiant and later the captain of the USS Constar. You created, 30, 35 different Menard fan films?
30-plus, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of ridiculous. You know, you're trying to race with Randy Landers of Potemkin Pictures to, you know, have the most fan films under your belt. anyway, I do remember during a number of our previous interviews, you telling me in no uncertain terms that when you finished doing the Menard saga, that you were pretty much done with fan films. You said you would be available to others who might ask you to assist on their fan films, but you said as far as doing your own fan films, you were getting out. You were moving on, and you were done with making your own fan films. So now you are introducing the Constar Chronicles, which is your new big saga of fan films. And my first question is, what part of I'm getting out of fan films didn't you understand?
I have no real simple answer for that. You know, I've been kind of accused by my haters by saying, you know, it was just a ploy or publicity stunt or whatnot, and it wasn't. At the time, it was like I was really burnt out. When you're making 30-plus fan films in the span of like a year, and you're doing the producing, the acting, scouting locations, makeup if it needs it, writing, directing, cinematography, you know, finding the actors, just doing almost every aspect of every single production, your mind is constantly in overdrive. And I had had my son around that same time, maybe a year earlier, and I really wanted to focus on being a dad. So, you know, walking away from fan films made sense, given the fact that with the Starbase Studios set, / Starbase Studios sets, Arkansas sets situation, you know, it was just, I was burnt out on everything. And so walking away felt natural to me. The passion wasn't really there. I had a love for the business, if you want to call it a business. You know, I had a love for everything, so that's why I didn't really want to fully walk away. You know, people like Michael, people like George from Starship Antilles, or Antilles, however you pronounce it, I'm not really sure, but you know, people like
you're talking about George Kyan and Michael L. King from Starship Valiant.
Yeah.
Okay.
People like Gary Davis, you know, Ray Testing. I love all of them people. So if they were to ever ask, you know, sure, you know, of course I'd do anything to help them out, you know, cameo wise or whatever. You know, it's like I love those people. They've been more than generous in helping me accomplish my films. So my goal was always I can never fully just close the door, but I'll help them out if they need. So I was always trying to leave the door open there. But a couple of people approached me and said, what can we do to bring you back? And my response was, well, is it a cameo or what? And they said, no, it's come back full time. And I'm like, nothing. So they would keep trying to chip away. And eventually, someone who had kind of a, you know, his own production type stance on things was like, look, realistically, what can we do to make this happen? I said, well, I'm doing this on my own, this on my own, this on my own, this on my own, this on my own. I can't do it all on my own. I have a son. That's top priority, and I just can't, and I'm not really interested. And he said, well, if you could, in a perfect world, what would that perfect world look like? I said, well, I'm not really interested in playing Engineer Menard because I feel like I've kind of told all those stories. So I'd be more interested in telling Captain Menard stuff, because, you know, Next Generation, there's not really a lot of Next Generation fan films. I mean, there are more becoming now, but we've kind of gone through Engineer Menard stuff. I'd like to tell some Captain Menard stories. And if I cameo, you know, I can go cameo as Engineer Menard with Michael or George or Gary, you know, because they're still in that era. So I'd love to be Captain Menard, but again, you know, I would be doing everything, and that just doesn't appeal to me. So certain things were set up to where I wasn't writing everything. I wouldn't be directing everything. The actors almost volunteered overnight. It was almost like, you know, the Mushroom Kingdom when the mushrooms just start popping up left and right and you get extra life after extra life after extra life, you know, and it's just like, wow. And so it was like when everybody came out of the woodwork to say, look, we kind of want you back. What can we do to help you? What stories do you want to do? It just blew me away. So I almost had no choice but to return. But again, I wanted to make it worth the people's while to do so, not just, you know, let me come back and be self-serving. So that was why I wanted to do the Constar Chronicles.
So you thought you were out, but they pulled you back in.
More or less, yeah, and which is why I say some people say, oh, it's just a publicity stunt. But it really wasn't. That's why when you see new actors in my stuff now, a lot of it are people that were fans of my work that realize, oh, wait, he is making movies. Oh, what? You know, let me be in one. Oh, I don't make them anymore. Oh, let's make more. Dang it. So, you know, yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so, you know, you already alluded this a little bit that Constar Chronicles is going to be more about Captain Menard, but what are the other real differences between what you've done before? Because some of your Menard saga fan films were about Captain Menard. So what are the differences between Menard and the Constar Chronicles?
Well, with the Constar stories that I had told, of course, they had Captain Menard, and he was the focal point of those stories because we were chronicling this dude's life. You know, engineer and captain and whatnot. And coming back to these things, I thought, you know, I love ensemble cast stories. And, you know, doing these, I didn't really want to focus on Menard. Although people know who the Menard character is, I thought with Constar Chronicles, we know generally where the stories go. We know that the ship was brought out of mothballs at a space station at Wolf 359 to kind of get the heck away from the Borg. So we know that is where it was kind of set up. We also know that the ship crash lands on a planet and someone betrays them. We don't know much more than that. And we also know at some point they get a brand new starship that kind of looks like the refit Enterprise, you know, the Enterprise A, except it's got like next gen lights on it. So we know kind of the bare bones basics of some of these stories, and we know some of the crew members, but we don't know much about them. So I thought, let's focus really on the crew, not Menard. You know, ultimately it's like, you know, Menard's there, but he's just like another one of the crew members. Each one of the stories will, you know, ultimately focus on a crew member. Menard's there, but it's more their story with each film. And ultimately follows more of the guidelines than the original 30 films that I have done, you know, where they focus more on Menard, these focus more on the crew, and you get to know them more. With the first set of films that I'm doing, you get to know the crew member, like the one crew member that I'm focusing on for that film, and then like there'll be an after credit scene, and then it jumps like 4 years after the crash of the Constar. So you get to see them a couple years later. And then the next film will be another crew member, and then the after credits for that will be 4 years later after the crash of the Constar. So again, you're learning who these people are, the crew, and then you're meeting some new crew members. So you'll get to see some familiar faces that you've seen in the films, and you get to meet some new ones, interacting with them. So it's kind of fun, and I think it's in the spirit of what fan films are all about.
And how many crew members do you have? How many episodes are you planning to do at this point?
Well, when all is said and done, I have 21 that have been planned, and I have most of them already written. And I've discussed with all of the actors who are all on board. The CGI shots have all been confirmed with the three different CGI artists that I have, and they're being constructed as we're done. So everything's going kind of all full forward on everything. There's three different chapters that I'm doing these films in, divided amongst everything. But you get to know about probably about a dozen or so different crew members.
So you're basically going to be well over 50 fan films by the time you're done with all this.
Yeah, and that's if somebody else doesn't have kind of a co-op film that they want to do that I'm like, all right, yeah, sure, why not? So.
And how long do you think you'll be working on Constar Chronicles? I mean, are we looking at these 20 episodes coming out over the next year, 2 years, 5 years? What do you think?
One of the great things about coming back to the fan films and taking my time to get there was the fact that I can take my time to get there. I really approach them when we get off work, which is like 6 in the morning, all of us go down to the place where we shoot, which is like a block away from our work, and we go shoot down at that location. So this is one of the benefits of when I came back and everybody, you know, when they were pulling me back in, like we all sat down and discussed, hey, if we're going to go forward, how can we make this work where it's not, you know, on our only Saturday afternoon where we're off, people don't show up or whatnot. Because, again, like I work about 60 to 72 hours a week, which is most of these people the same thing. So we really set down a time where we can film where it doesn't interfere with any of our families or it doesn't interfere with our sleep much. So we've actually been filming about once a week, you know, sometimes every other week, just depending on how busy we get. But usually it's about once a week. But I'm very big on that real life comes first, so I'm willing to take my time to get there. But next year when I shoot at Wolf's, Glenn Wolf, that will be kind of the book ending where we actually need the bridge and we actually need some of the other rooms. So that will be when my wife gets out of college, which will be probably August of next year. That will be where I just film the stuff I need, edit the stuff together, and then probably release it. So I'm willing to take my time to get there, and I'm in no real hurry because it's like, dude, they just got done with a year last year of Menard stuff. They can wait there. You know, nobody's really clamoring to see me, so I'm good. You know, it's like you said, I'm kind of everywhere at this point, so I think they're good.
And that, and of course, you know, I don't want every single one of my blogs to be about the next Constar Chronicles. Oh, yeah, there was one last week and the week before and the week before that.
No, I do plan, once I release them, like I do plan to just have, like, one a day. Here you go.
Do you really?
Yeah, I will. It'll be one a day. Here you go. And I figured that would probably save you time with, all right, we'll wait till the end of all these, and then we'll have an interview, because I figured, I don't think I'll want, you know, 21 independent interviews. But like I said, I have them divided up into three chapters. Like, I don't know, I might do, like, one a month, you know, these 10, and then the next month here's 5, and the next month here's 6. Just to divide each chapter up, because the first chapter I have chronicles, you know, the Comstar before it gets destroyed, and then there's 5 films that take place between the destruction and then the refit, or, you know, the new one, and then the last 5 is what happens when they get the brand new one, you know, before Menard's death, and then those after credits are, you know, hey, their captain's dead, you know, it's kind of a goodbye for them. Because I had talked to each one of the crew members, I was like, what would you think about this as kind of a send-off and goodbye? Because at that point, I really do feel like I've kind of said everything I need to say, like, and I'm getting too old to kind of play this character who's not supposed to age, and I don't have the Marvel money to de-age me, so, and my hair's thinning too much, I'm getting some gray in my beard. I think at that point, yeah, I can't compete with anybody on fan films, you know, for how many. I think at that point, yeah, I probably would stop. And there would definitely be no coming back. So I think at that point, I've been discussing with Sam, my friend Sam Johnson, him taking over the reins for, hey, if you want the Constar stuff, you take it, but I won't be coming back after that.
You say I won't be coming back.
Yeah, but here we are having, you know, this interview. No, right, right.
You know, also said he wouldn't be coming back?
What's that?
Patrick Stewart. He said he wouldn't be coming back.
That is very true, and I was very excited. I got tagged like 15 times from 15 different people saying, hey, did you see this? And, you know, each time I got very excited, so I was like, yay! So, yeah, it was awesome.
So if he can come back, you know, and he's got thinning hair too, so, you know, so okay, you can come back. You know what you can
right.
do? You know what you can do? You can come back as a Force ghost.
I'm good. I'm good.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
That's good.
So apparently you're already setting up a lot of stuff. You said you've got 3 different visual effects people on this. I mean, I've seen some of the renderings of the Constar you sent me. They look gorgeous. They look a lot better than what you actually had in Menard. Do you have different people working on it now or what?
I have 3 people. I have Gary Davis, I have Jerry Benoist, and then I have Craig Frey Jr. Lee Gartrell will also be doing some computer effects for a certain chapter in my films. So I have 4, actually, that are helping me out on this. And again, I wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff without them because they make me look a lot better than I naturally could have been because, me, I'd be grabbing some Lego starships and pew, 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 you know. So the thing that made me really happy with Craig was I saw a picture of, like, a Constitution-class saucer separated, and I saw like all the circuitry and stuff in it. And I was like, oh, dude, that's really cool. That just inspires me to make a story around that, which I did. And the story was just a really great story around that one aspect. And I love people that inspire me to tell stories. Like, I think that's the dream of any filmmaker, is to go out and inspire other people. And I like people that inspire me. And so when I asked him, hey, with that, can you make the Constar? And he was like, well, I'm not really sure if I could make the Constar, you know, exactly how you had it. And I was like, no, I don't care about those things. As long as it's got the registry, the name, the blue warp nacelles, like I'm pretty easy going on stuff. Because I kind of see each model maker as an artist from like the 80s. Like if you picked up a Batman comic book, he'd have like short ears. And then you pick up Detective Comics, he'd have like longer ears. If you picked up Shadow of the Bat, he'd look kind of like Dracula, you know. There was always different interpretations. And that's kind of the same way as I see CGI artists. Like, I'm not too picky on that. As long as the basic things look the same, I'm okay with it. So when he asked me, hey, can I tweak this? Sure. Can I tweak this? Yeah, sure. Why not? Hey, can I do this? Yeah, go ahead. I don't care. So when he sent me the final model, I really was happy with it. And I think every CGI artist that I have brings something different to, you know, the films. So, yeah, I'm very happy. Again, I would have nothing if it wasn't for these people helping me out. So I'm glad you like the visuals.
Yeah, actually, that's very interesting. I like your comparison to the different ways of drawing Batman, you know, the concept of, you know, different VFX people handling your ship in different ways. There's no rules in fan film. That's the great thing. If you feel like doing it one way, you can do it that way because, you know, nobody tells you otherwise. And if somebody doesn't like it, then don't watch your fan film, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's my thing. Like, my main focus is more on characters and story, and, you know, it's just like with uniforms. In some ways, my uniforms are a little loose on people. In some ways, uniforms are a little too snug. You know, to me, it's more about characters and all that, and that's what the focal point of my stories is, not necessarily the aesthetics of certain things. So when I get them, they're good. I'm like, yay. If they're not so good, I'm like, yay. So either way, I'm happy with whatever I get. So, you know, it is what it is.
And speaking of uniforms, actually, you did a crowdfunding campaign using a service I'd never actually heard of before called Fundraiser, with an R-A-Z-R, trying to raise, $500 just to buy some uniforms for Constar Chronicles. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not in the know on anything. Like, I've done GoFundMes, like with Jeremy for Melbourne. But for me, you know, I feel like for a production company that says no budget productions, I should have no budget. I mean, heck, I've made a TOS ready room out of cardboard. So, I mean, that tells you the length I'll go just to not have a budget, you know. But it came up where my first contact uniform is like 20 years old. It's tattered. It's kind of ripping. Like, it gets to the point where it's like I can't really, you know, I'm not the same size I was 20 years ago. You know, I've gained a pound or two since then. So, like, I kind of need something if I'm going to tell some stories in the First Contact era, and my stories are focusing more on the other characters around Menard. The uniforms that I have for me aren't going to suffice for them. You know, if I have a medical officer, okay, he's not going to wear a red uniform. So I need uniforms for them. So that meant I needed to expand. So when I talked to Gary, he had suggested, well, let's try this one. So we did, and it was kind of confusing us both at first because we were like, wait, what is this? You know, so it's kind of the blind leading the blind. But once we got everything figured out, it worked just fine. And it was really a good and successful fundraising campaign.
When you said he said use this one, you mean use this fundraiser.com?
Yeah, because we wanted to do something that was not GoFundMe, because everyone kind of does GoFundMe. So we wanted to do something that went kind of directly to the account. And we've seen a lot of people use that particular one, which is done through Facebook. Like, it was just a lot more confusing when we thought it was going to be easier. So we were kind of like, wait, what? So we're scratching our heads. And in the end, we had kind of agreed that maybe we should have just done GoFundMe, you know, because GoFundMes are kind of easy to do. And this one wasn't. So I think we ended up confusing ourselves more than we should have. But once we were through it, it was fine. But this one is one that is done through Facebook and whatnot. I think the main difference is, I think GoFundMe charges like 5%, whereas this one, whoever's asking for the money, it charges them like 5%. This one, I think, charges the donator like 5%, but it ended up charging me like 5% anyway. So like we both like weren't very happy with this in the end, because we're like, wait a second, that's not. So in the end, I think next time
fundraiser, use GoFundMe.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, yeah. Nobody from that organization get mad at me, but yeah, I wasn't
still listening to my blog, but. Well, I do have to say, you know, it was amazing. I was getting ready to cover this campaign on Fan Film Factor because, you know, I pretty much list almost all the Trek crowdfunding campaigns on Fan Film Factor. And you were up for, like, what, 24, 28 hours, and you reached your goal?
Yep, we were up for 28 hours, and we had actually gone past our goal. I think it was, like, 32 hours, and we had gone, like, 550. And our goal is, like, 500, and we reached that at like 28 hours. So yeah, 28 hours we reached our goal, and we got a little bit past that because people just kept throwing money my way. And I had actually messaged Gary and I was like, hey man, shut this down, because I don't like money. It really bothers me that I even had to do a fundraiser. I've seen what money does to people, and I don't like dealing with money. I originally went to people and asked, hey, if you guys have uniforms, please, even if it's not a very good one, I'll take it. If you guys have props, even if it's scratched or needs paint, I'll take that. And I had gotten a little bit, you know, with this. This allowed me to do what I needed to for films. I don't like doing fundraising for myself. So once we got past, you know, and I was able to get a hold of Gary, I was like, hey, shut it down. So because people just, it's like they were just throwing money my way. And although I was very humbled by it, because to me that showed me that the people believe enough in what I'm doing to support me.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people collecting money right now, or trying to collect money, who are wondering, what, you know, Vance, what did you do to get so many people to throw money at you so quickly?
I have pictures of them, so yeah. It's no, I think it's one of those things where my record, I think, speaks for itself, and the fact that I've given them a lot on no budget, and the fact that, you know, when you go out and you put yourself out there, you know, I didn't go out and try to fluff myself up and say, you know, this is the best thing ever out there. Like, I don't put myself out there and say that. You know, it's like, look, guys, you know, help me out. I'm buying uniforms and props. That's basically it. I mean, with me, it's what you see is what you get. And I try to help out other productions when I can. And the thing about my films is, like, you know, if someone else needs a prop or something, like, I'm going to let them borrow it. If they need a uniform, hey, go ahead. You know, it's like I really do try to help out as many films and put as many people as I can in. You know, if someone has a uniform and they want to be in my film, I'll figure a way to write you in. Even if you don't have a uniform and they're like, hey, I'll show up. Oh, come on.
That happened to me. I had a uniform. I was in one of your films.
Yeah, I don't tell people no. So I think that's one of the reasons why when I go to people and I ask them, please help me out, like, I'm very grateful that they do. So to anyone listening that's donated, thank you. To anyone that helps spread the link, thank you. I can't make my films without you guys. So honestly, thank you.
And thank you from me as well, because it saved me having to actually write a blog about it. Because by the time I was ready to write a blog about it, it was already shut down. So I think the other reason that you got so many people to donate so quickly is that you did something that a lot of people forget to do. You asked. I remember getting a PM from you just telling me about this and saying, you know, look, if you could give a little bit, that would be very appreciated. And I'm sure that you sent those private messages to other people.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're doing crowdfunders, and I have to say this, just because you build it doesn't mean they will come. Your job during the 30 or 60 or 90 days of your crowdfunding campaign, your job is to nag people. Your job is to remind people this is going on. Just because you've built it, just because you've launched the campaign, doesn't mean you're done. Doesn't mean people are going to come and start throwing money at you. It's a job. Ask people, tell people, beg people, you know, do whatever you need to do, because this is your one chance to get the money.
And sometimes I feel like a nag with my stuff, but like I did that with the Melbourne. I did that with the Briefing Room GoFundMe. I did that with the moving from Oklahoma to Arkansas. You know, I do that with all of my films. Whenever I see, you know, I'll go through the groups and I'll be like, hey, this person's online. Hey, I've got this film released. You know, you want to go watch it? If you could, leave a comment. You know, I like to update people who I recognize who've commented on my stuff, or if they like a picture that I posted, that I'm like, hey, this film I just released, and they like this picture, then they go through and let them know that I've released the film. So when I do ask for stuff like this, they know what I'm doing. But yeah, you're absolutely right. With Lexington, with their GoFundMe, that's what I did. With Dreadnought Dominion, with their GoFundMe, that's what I did to help them out a little bit. And then with this, you know, I do go to people and I do ask them directly, because it's like, if you just post a link, for some people it works for them, and that's great. For me, I've got to work for every dollar that I ask for, because I don't have the big guns to just draw in the people. You know, I have very small budgets, and again, I think I'm a little more appreciative to all them people. You know, I do make those connections, and I do try to thank everybody when they do. I pay attention to those things, and I do thank everybody when they do donate. I reach out, and I'm like, hey, thank you. And if I don't, it's usually the exception and not the case. So I remember those people.
All right, so last question that I have for you, because you were just talking about Dreadnought Dominion, and you've talked a lot about Gary. And for folks that don't know, Gary is, of course, Gary Davis of Dreadnought Dominion, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he appears in your first episode of Constar Chronicles that you just released, a crossover with Dreadnought Dominion. Time's Echo is the name of it. And I have a link to it on the page for you to watch if you haven't already. It's a fun little time-traveling romp. I'd say it's about time. So it's about time to talk about Dreadnought Dominion, because it's rather interesting to introduce your new fan series as a crossover. How did that all come about?
I always love working with Gary, and he'll sit there and say that I'm the inspiration behind stuff. I'm the pusher of ideas and whatnot. And that guy talks me up all the time. So I love working with anyone that loves to talk me up. But in reality, the situation is, you know, I just love working with good people, and he's really talented. The thing with the Dreadnought Dominion, they had had two films that they had shot down at Stage 9 at Rays. You know, I'm so damn envious, because it's like such beautiful sets down there. But I shot Gary a call, and I was like, hey, man, I kind of got this idea, because I know that you're building a captain's chair. Now, back when we had shot the Command & Conquer, Gary had built the Agonizing Booth, or Agonizer Booth, whatever it's called. Don't kill me, Trekkies. But he had built that. And I told him, I said, well, have you ever thought about building your own captain's chair? And he was like, oh, I could never build that. I'm like, well, why not? Oh, that's the captain's chair. I'm like, you're not telling me anything I don't know. Why can't you build it? Oh, that's just, that's the chair. And I'm like, dude, it's plywood. So the thing about it is, like, once he got past the idea that it's just parts, he made a great chair. And so he's sitting on this chair, and I don't know what happened to the first one he made. I forget it right offhand, but he went to make another one. And I was like, you know, you just got done filming two films. Hot dog, I'm inspired. Again, I love working with people that inspire me. There's something that makes, you know, seeing films, I'm like, man, I want to do something. So knowing that he was building this chair, I was like, well, you've got a green screen at home. I know you do, because you sent me one. What can we do with a captain's chair? And I knew I was doing Constar stuff, so I didn't want to revisit Engineer Menard. And I felt, okay, doing Chain of Command, we've done Engineer Menard with Gary, or, you know, with Brousseau. Okay, we've done Command & Conquer, which was a Mirror Universe version of that story somewhat. So I don't really want to revisit that. And I don't want to tell the same story over and over and over. And I thought, well, what about, since I'm going into Constar Chronicles and I'm doing Constar stuff, what if I was to tell a story with Brousseau and Captain Menard? Well, how would that work? And I thought, well, I can't really tell a long story. What about something short? And Time's Echo was kind of critiqued by a fellow individual who felt that it need to critique it. He was like, well, you really didn't give us much meat there. And I'm like, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is to just be like, hey, here's something. There's more to come. And that's kind of what Gary and I both wanted to do, is just have fun and be like, there's more to come, guys. So this is really the tip of the iceberg for something. Not necessarily what we're going to do, but it does play into a storyline that I have with a certain character that I'm bringing back from another fan film. So it'll play into... Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's kind of like with Resistance, my fan film that I did, the very first Constar adventure. And some people were like, why is Menard on a Constitution class ship? That doesn't make any sense. This is hogwash. What is this malarkey? You know, and they flipped out over it. And I'm like, guys, give it time. Or they sat there and saw Dark Glimmer, the first Mirror Universe film I did. And I'm like, guys, give it time. And now you go back and watch the films, and you're like, oh, man, he knew what he was doing. And that's kind of like with this. You know, wait till I'm done with all this stuff, and then watch them. And you'll know exactly what I'm doing. That's the beauty of doing these films, is you get to tell stories. And once you're all done, it's a tapestry. And you get to share, you know, be part of the Star Trek universe. And all for, what, $500? You know, so it's just great because, you know, again, I get to do that with my friends at work. And they get to feel like, wow, I get to go play Star Trek and beat me up, Scotty. And I'm like, oh, no, we're in next-gen time. It's not Scotty. It's O'Brien. Oh, never mind. Who? Who's O'Brien? Never mind. It's all good. It's okay. Yeah, Scotty. You know, so, you know, it's good fun. Fan films are great, man. You know, so that's where Time's Echo came from, was just I had a dude with a chair and a bunch of bad uniforms that didn't fit. And I was like, let's make a film. So that's it.
Well, I knew I said it was the last question, but you keep saying chair, and I know that Gary was building a chair, but he wasn't necessarily framed to show the chair. I mean, his scenes were great. They were very fun. I, you know, loved the bridge that was chroma keyed behind him, but he went through all this trouble to build a wonderful chair, and then we don't see the chair. What happened?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of there. I mean, the top part is there, so I don't know. You'd really have to ask him. I don't know. So,
oh, my next
I'm not
interview
sure.
with Gary. What happened to your chair, dude?
I don't know.
Okay, well, so when are we going to see the first episode of a non-crossover Constar Chronicles?
I'll probably release a promo sometime before Christmas. I'm not really sure. It'll just whenever I feel the need. But I've got a promotion that's ready to go up. It's been ready for a couple of months. I think I've already sent you that, actually, because you're one of the few people that I actually send promotion stuff to be like, hey, man, check it out. What do you think? So I've got that. But like I said, with 21 films to do, taking my time with my friends, and then the final film, kind of bookending the stuff, August of next year when my wife gets out of school, that'll be when I go to Wolf's to shoot. We'll edit all that stuff up. And then I plan to release kind of all of them at once. So it'll probably be like a month of Constar stuff just at one time. Be like, boom, here you go. Or, depending on, you know, how things come at the time.
People will be able to binge watch Constar.
Pretty much. Or worse, you know, if I change, you know, it might be like, hey, here's this chapter, these 10 this month. You know, next month it'll be this 5, and then next, you know, the following month it'll be this 6. So it might be like each chapter, you know, for this, and but then that's it. So, you know, it really just depends. But I'm thinking about just doing, you know, a month full of, you know, each day, boom, 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 you know, just because it's like I'll be sitting on 21 films, so who really wants to sit on that many films? You know, it just really depends on how the mood strikes me. Yeah, you know, I really don't know, but after I film that last thing at Wolfson, it's edited, there's no real need to sit on them, and I'm not really one to hype up, oh, I'm a big deal, because I'm not. It's just more like, here, guys, watch them all. Let me know what you think. Enjoy. So.
Well, I can't wait to see them. I can't wait to see them.
Well, good, man. I'm glad. It's a lot of fun to get there. And like I said, I got stories should be pretty fun. You'll get to know a lot more characters. You know, you can watch them independently and enjoy them. But if you watch them collectively, you'll see overarching theme, I think. But, I mean, you'll get to see these people's lives as they are. Hopefully it gives a little bit more fun to the Star Trek universe, to at least to the Constar stuff. I hope it's something worth watching.
Well, thank you again for yet another fine interview. This makes like 151 or something at this point, right?
Right. I think I've got about as many interviews as I do fan films at this point. So if I ever exceed interviews and I do films, that's when we need to just call it quits, man. So.
Well, anyway, thank you again, and good luck with the Constar Chronicles.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for having me, brother.